wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. And now he stands before you. Who is he? My Bible text says, "And Jesus stood before the governor, two men, face to face. All others fade off the stage, for this is a person-to-person matter. The governor was Pontius Pilate, appointed by the world kingdom of Rome, the governor of Judea. He thought that the big day in his life was when that world emperor Tiberius Caesar gave to him the governorship. He was elated with pride as he sat on his throne as the governor. The Jews were always in one trouble or another, so men of all kinds stood before him, awaiting his decree. But who was this man that stood before him? He was known as Jesus of Nazareth, and to most Jews he was a mystery man, for he could take a few loaves of bread and feed a multitude. He could open the eyes of the blind, and even the helpless leper was cleansed at his word. All sickness and disease vanished at his touch, and even when demons were in people, they cried out and left their victims at his command. And he had faced a raging sea and said, 'Be still,' and instantly there was a great calm as the wind and sea obeyed him. And even death had to release its captive as he said, 'Come forth,' whether a girl that had just died, or a young man in a coffin on the way to the cemetery, or a grown man in a grave already dead and stinking. Whoever was this man who stood before Pilate that day, and who now, right now, stands before you, Y-O-U, my neighbor. That was the big day in Pilate's life. It was the day when he faced the greatest question that ever a man faced. My message sounds that question in your ears right now. No wonder Pilate cried in utter consternation as he felt the tug of God and his own conscience as they battled with the grip that the world and popularity held on him. It seemed to tear him apart as he cried, 'What then shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?' He had tried to avoid this decision as he sent Jesus to Herod, but that failed, for now Jesus stood before him. A high priest Caiaphas, or a raging mob, could not relieve him of his own personal responsibility. It was, 'What shall I do?' Yes, Pilate, he is on your hands, and as that man now stands before you, both God and men, angels and demons, to watch, awaiting your decision. Pilate, face to face with Jesus, sees first but a Jew clad in the garments of the common people. He looks again. He sees a personal dignity that could never be hid. He thinks he's some great man. So he asks, 'Are you a king?' But who is he? That man that stood before the governor and this very day stands before you. Who is he? No man could tell us. Not even an angel could tell. For he was long before there was a man or an angel either. He preceded all created intelligence. He must tell us himself, for he only knew. Listen, 'Before Abraham was, I am.' I am? What does that mean? He is the one who was and always was, who is and always is, who will be and always will be, the great eternal I am, the one who is God himself, even as the Spirit of God wrote of him, 'In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.' Pilate, after examining him, said twice over, 'I find no fault in him.' And his wife called him that just man. Yet Pilate had him crucified as the king of the Jews, not my king, my Lord, my Savior. That man in a real human body was God manifest in flesh. Neighbor, your case and mine were too hard for human help. We need a divine Savior, for only God, with whom nothing is impossible, could meet such great need as your need and my need. My Jesus is that just God and a Savior, and I can say, my Savior. Now he stands before you. This is your hour of decision, a decision that will make or ruin you now and forever. In deep thought we listen as he speaks again. I am the true vine. This brings us to man's first duty, which is to glorify God his Maker and be fruitful for God right here on earth. But when a man links up with the devil and serves sin, then his life bears no fruit for God, and his words, thoughts, and deeds stink with corruption and provoke the wrath of God his Creator. But there is the true vine, and when we are linked to Jesus Christ, our lives can glorify God and be fruitful in blessing to others. Without that true vine, our lives are in ruin, worthless to God, useless to men, and a miserable existence to ourselves. Again he speaks, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. If you turn down Jesus, the bread of life, you'll be left with but the husks that the swine do eat. Husks but no corn, chaff but no wheat. This world has only husks to offer, and you'll perish with hunger. Why moan dull, 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 as you too prove that all is vanity, so you conclude this life is an empty mess. Lift your eyes to that man who now stands before you. He is the bread of life, and come to him. Peace, rest, and joy will so fill your hungry soul you will be satisfied. Once that man met at a well a woman who had so desperately tried to gratify her hungry soul with lust, she had stolen 6 husbands. And as she came face to face with that one holy man, she cried, "Who are you anyway?" He replied, "I am the Christ." And what does that mean? Through all the Holy Scriptures, God reveals to us the coming Messiah, the Christ. I select one. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Christ is the Savior of men, suffering for our sins. He became the one mediator between God and men, and offering his own precious life's blood as the one sacrifice for sins forever. He is our only hope. Neighbor, he came to seek and to save the lost. And lost sinner though you are, today there stands before you Jesus the Christ. He holds out to you his once pierced hands and calls you, "Come to me, I will save you." What a solemn moment is this in your life. The devil puffs you up with pride, but the Holy Spirit speaks as he did once to me. You are a lost and wicked sinner. God knows you are, and you know it too. Repent and be saved. Now it's up to you to decide. God will not force you, and the devil cannot stop you. Confess, "Lord Jesus Christ, I now come to thee to save me and to be my Lord and my God." Again the cry, "Who is he?" He speaks, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You are on a journey through this life, entering the dark tunnel of death, and then embarking on that shoreless ocean of eternity. That journey is too great for you. You haven't got what it takes. But Jesus is over all. God bless it forever. He is the eternal answer to your deep need, for he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. If you turn him down, you will wander on in a fog of darkness and bewilderment as you cry out, "What am I anyway? Where am I? Where am I going?" Standing before you at this moment is Jesus, the way back to God, the truth answering all your problems, and the life, even eternal life. Cry out, "Lord Jesus, I need thee. I now entrust myself to thee, to follow thee, and to be thine in this life and the life to come." Amen. Yet again he speaks, I am the good shepherd. My sheep shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. These words catch the ears of some who know how easily they fall back into sin. They fear they could not hold out. I know how you feel, so let me tell you about myself and this good shepherd. One night, as a lad of near 15, I was alone in my bedroom. I was lost and utterly miserable in my sins. The Holy Spirit brought the answer to my need, and Jesus stood before me. But surely that great and holy one would have nothing to do with me, a filthy sinner, and just a dumb, thick-headed boy with no potentialities? Yet he spoke to me, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." I took him at his word, and I came to him to be my Lord, my Savior, and my God. That good shepherd took this lost lamb in his strong arms and laid me on his shoulders. I cried, "He's mine! I know he's mine!" For we were one forever. That was 66 years ago, and he has carried me safely all the way, and I know he will not cast me out, but bring me safe home to heaven. That good shepherd now stands before you. Oh man, delay not. Cry to him, "Lord Jesus, I'm lost. Take me in thine everlasting arms and carry me home." Does someone say, "I don't get all this. I thought that Jesus was dead." But you are bad wrong, for he's not a dead Jew. He arose from the dead, a living man. He walked and talked and ate with those who knew him. He was the very same Jesus with his pierced hands and feet. Then as they watched, he ascended up into heaven. Hear his words, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." To hear those words in hell, Pilate would tremble in terror and say, "When I was the judge, I turned him down, saying, 'Take him and crucify him.' But now he is the judge, and he will cast me out." Oh, if I could only forget that day and that awful decision I made. But it is too late for Pilate forever, and soon it will be too late for you too. But now is the day of salvation for you. Again he speaks, "I am the Son of God." As the Son of Man, he said, "The Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." He who is the Son of Man, not the son of a man, he is the Son of Man, and he is God's only Son. And as the Son of God, Paul could say, and I can say too, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." No wonder the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is the glory of all his redeemed people. For that life laid down in sacrifice, that precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And now you face that Son of Man and Son of God, who is able and willing to save you, Y-O-U, from the guilt and stain of your sins, Y-O-U, our sins, bringing you peace with God here on earth and making you clean for heaven's holiness and glory hereafter. Will you receive him or refuse him? This is a choice you must make. A step you must take, a decision you must reach, as Jesus Christ now stands before you, Y-O-U. God the Father in heaven is watching you. The Son of God has his eternal pen in hand, ready to write your name in the book of life as he awaits your repentance and confession of him. And the Spirit of God hovers over you, ready to give you that born of God experience, making you a child of God forever. Surely you will right now respond to the living God with this confession. "O God, amazed at thy love and grace to me, I will repent of my sins and receive Jesus Christ to be my Lord, my Savior, and my God, and my good shepherd too. And I surrender myself to be his forever, come what may." Amen. May this decision be yours now, right now. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God through his bondservant, David Brinkman.